Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Intuitive Empath, a conversation with Shannon Rogers. At an incredibly young age, Shannon Rogers learned to use her abilities as an intuitive empath as a means of navigating life and the negative energy of the living that surrounded her. As a woman, she learned that these skills were still there and, in fact, could play a great role in not only helping herself, but others as she entered on a journey of paranormal investigation. Today, we hear about some of those journeys. Journeys that would lead her to confront disturbed souls who once tormented the living in their lifetimes, and some who never walked the earth at all.
It really started, just very, very early, around 4 or 5 years old, just, being an intuitive empath. I didn't understand it then, but I, through early childhood trauma, I learned how to feel people's emotions out to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And, I knew when someone was mad. I had to learn how to feel the way they were feeling to see how I would react.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all started kind of in the metaphysical world for me, understanding being an empath, and before I started seeing spirits. It all started with just feeling energy and feeling people's energy and how they react to certain situations, to see how I would react to certain situations.
And that's interesting. Do you feel, and that's very understandable how that develops in someone who needs to have that develop almost for survival, to kind of know the lay of the land of who's around you. How are they feeling? How do you adapt so you can get by? It's just an opinion question. Do you think everyone has the ability to adapt and to develop that empathic skill? Or is that something that, you happen to have that and you were able to really develop that more because you specifically, and obviously other people do too, but do you think there's not everyone has that, those sort of building blocks to build upon to make that stronger?
I'm glad you asked that. Actually, this is just my theory on the situation. And I think one person out of like 2,000 people that I've asked them, how did you become an empath? And I told them about my theory, and they would say, all but one person is like, yes. Okay, when you're a small child,
mm-hmm.
and you're still developing, your behavioral skills, your communication skills, the way, just your brain is developing, if something traumatic happens, it causes you to open up a different part of your brain,
mm-hmm.
to be able to, am I in trouble? Should I be quiet? Are they mad at me? Are they going to throw something? Is it going to happen again, kind of situation?
Yeah.
And so I feel like, just to be able to communicate and you're when at that age or at that stage, that it causes you to your brain just to work differently. Basically, you communicate differently. But I think that can happen also later, at a later age in life, because, mm-hmm. if you go through trauma, that's not always a situation, but that's my theory. I think that, anybody can open up different parts of their brain if they're given the chances or circumstances or being forced to.
Sure. It just has that many more years to develop and for you to understand what it's all about if it happens at an earlier age.
Yes. Because like I said, your brain's still developing. And when you use those for your ways of communication more than verbally speaking to someone, you're connected to people's energy and emotions a lot more than the typical person who grows up in a perfect childhood or,
mm-hmm.
Didn't have to experience those things. They didn't have to open up that level, so maybe that's not there.
That's a very interesting way of looking at it, and I think very accurate in many circumstances when I think about it, and friends and family that I have that are you'd call an empath, and you look at some of their childhood situations, it's like, well, that does make sense. That, is that, obviously no one wants to, willingly have childhood trauma, but it's one of those things where when you look back on it after the fact, it's part of the recipe, it seems, for having that ability.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk more about as you discovered, you know, you have this ability, the empathic ability, and as you grew older, talk about your interest in the paranormal. How did that develop?
With the paranormal field, I actually started out in the metaphysical. In 2012, I moved to Colorado. I had a lot of my whole adult life and teenage life and childhood life was just, you know, just a lot of misery for myself and just a lot of not understanding. And when I moved to Colorado, I got around some people that helped me understand, like, well, you're an empath. And I'm like, what? What does that mean? And I dug into that and I really embraced that as a gift. And I learned about it and took a lot of different metaphysical classes, learned how to do a lot of things. I had a great mentor, Lisa Camarlo in Colorado. And when I moved back to Texas, it was hard to be around like-minded people again because there's just not that many people in DFW that are like-minded that are out and open about it.
Sure.
And then I, you know, went on an event to Old Park Hotel and when Chad Lindbergh was there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. Once I went, you know, I mean, I was hooked right away. I took everything I knew about communicating with spirits, everything I feel, and it led right into paranormal, and I have been running with it ever since because I have so much passion for it because it's like my whole life has led up to this point making sense.
And I want to talk about that.
Spirits.
Go ahead.
It's like it's helping spirits cross over. It's helping people understand. They have a story that wants to be told. There's different reasons. Every scenario is different when you're dealing with, you know, with the paranormal and spirits and energy and stuff. But, you know, for me to understand everything that I've been going through my whole life and not understanding, I understand now. It led me up to paranormal, and I love it when the teaching people, helping them understand, like people that are empaths or people that are going through problems or people that are connected to the spirit world. You know, it's just one of those things you got to help people and kind of guide them along, and it's a beautiful process. It really is, but...
And I want to talk about how the two worlds kind of collided, the world of metaphysical and paranormal for you. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to take a step back to what you talked about when you went to Colorado and you kind of went down a journey and you started to learn more about yourself, more about the metaphysical world and how that plays into who you are and how you think and how things work for you. What were some of the biggest things that you learned about yourself on that journey during your time in Colorado?
I learned that I was different, but I wasn't that different. You know, I got invited to go to a metaphysical class by a lady that I met. I learned how to start doing tarot, and I don't do it traditionally. I learned to listen to what I'm feeling and the energy of this person in front of me. It was just, it's really hard to explain. It was like I was blossoming so much. I was coming alive, and I was freeing myself, and I just really dug deep into it and started, different training classes, regressive therapy classes. You know, I even took a class on, you know, seances, and they said, guess what? We're not going to do a seance. We just want to teach you the history about it. So I learned about all the different things, and, you know, I just learned to trust myself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You know, trust my intuition and everything. And so it was just, I mean, an amazing, amazing experience being in Colorado. I was put there for a reason because it was my time to become who I am and to come down the road that I am.
Sure.
But, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how blessed I feel that those moments happened in my life because, you know, you live your whole life not understanding, thinking you're different. And then when you figure out that different is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, go ahead.
I just want to hear how that has affected you when you get to that point of, wait a second, like there's this is good, this is not bad, just because, you know, so many people around us, you know, may either look down at it or not understand it, and then you kind of feel excluded or worse. Coming to an understanding of, no, actually, this is me. This is who I am, and I'm not alone in that journey. Let me ask you, what was your outlook on the world of ghosts and the paranormal, specifically like ghosts and things of that nature, when you were in Colorado and you were going on that journey? Did you believe in spirits and ghosts? Was it something that, you know, was just kind of out there? Did you have an opinion? Where were you at that point in your life?
I've always believed in spirits and the afterlife and everything, but once I started going down that journey and being able to connect, you know, in the metaphysical with spirit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I absolutely, I mean, I knew it was real. I had no doubt about it. I've seen apparitions way before I got into the paranormal and everything. So, I mean, it was just, my opinion is like, it's, I've always believed in it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm in the paranormal now, it's like, I have confirmation. I can use the metaphysical side of me, which mm-hmm. is the most, the more dominant side, and then have the paranormal with the equipment and everything to validate.
Yeah. So it was always just a fact. It was always just there for you. There was no, I need to go prove this to myself that it exists through this exercise or that exercise. It was just, the sky is blue. It's a fact. Tell me a little bit more about how you said that you had experienced apparitions even prior to going on that journey. What had exactly happened and what was going through your mind when that occurred?
The first time I got, I mean, I'd always imagine stuff in my head because things happen in my sleep behind my eyelids. Sometimes I can't sleep because I'll have to lay on my stomach and face the headboard with my eyes wide open because I'll either see shadow figures everywhere. I'll close my eyes and see them in my, you know, right there in my face. Or when I dream on some nights are just that bad for me. But it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
So
someone is knocking on my door.
So it wasn't just a one-time experience of you're going down a hole and you see an apparition. This is kind of an ongoing thing for you where you would run into...
Well, no. In the beginning, I thought I was just having crazy dreams and all that stuff. And so when it really honestly started was 2011, 2012, I had read a book about, you know, contacting and finding your spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, at that point, you know, a lot of people in the beginning, they want to rush things. They want to experience it right now. So I started meditating really, really hard. And I was like, I want to see something, something, something. And I had this light above the table I was sitting at that I could actually see through my eyelids. It was iridescent, but I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of focused that as a light. And next thing you know, I open my eyes and to the left, I see this like late teen, early 20s sitting on a couch in a tank top and red shorts, just like looking like panicked, and he gets up and there was an old lady on, you know, to the left of me, and I'm like, what the hell? And the guy just gets up and he runs out of the, you know, room, and then not so much out of the room, he just was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that freaked me out. I didn't do it for a while. I closed that off for a while because it freaked me out so much because I pushed so hard for it.
Yeah.
But now it happens all the time. I'll be at friend's house, I'm like, you just had somebody walk across your kitchen. And especially at Jefferson Hotel this last weekend, I was sleeping in the room where Lydia had actually hung herself.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.